Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Yeah, we got behind the scenes here getting Mark Briscoe some water. And we were laughing because he was looking for the dressing room. And I just yelled out, Mark. And there he was, like magic.
That's the way to do it, man. Forget Which, the technology. Just get back to our roots and start yelling at each other.
That's it, right? Exactly. Who can yell the loudest? But it's cool because we are in Baltimore and you live in Delaware, which is just down the road.
Yes, sir.
And this is kind of like one of your stomping grounds from back in the Ring of Honor days. Wasn't Baltimore kind of a hotbed for Ring of Honor?
Yes, sir. Baltimore, especially once Sinclair Broadcasting bought Ring of Honor.
Right.
That's when it kind of shifted from being a Philadelphia-based kind of hometown company, and then it kind of shifted to a Baltimore hometown company once Sinclair bought the company. Mm. So, yeah, oh, yeah, a lot of roots back here in Baltimore, for sure.
Did they ever have shows, actually, I'm sure they did, in Delaware?
Yeah, but actually, see, the thing about Delaware is there's, like, no real good arenas or anything.
Right.
The only Ring of Honor show that we ever ran in Delaware was at the local fire hall, Laurel Fire Hall, and it was like a Ring of Honor. It was like I don't know what they used to call them. It was like the Future of Honor. That's what they called it.
Okay,
Future
gotcha.
Of Honor. Yep. But that was the only one ever run in Delaware.
Because I was looking at my stats, and I have wrestled in all 50 states except for Delaware.
Really?
We've had shows there, but I just did, like, interviews. I never actually had a match in Delaware.
Holy crap, man. So you've been, like, South Dakota and all
everywhere.
That? Alaska?
Hawaii, Alaska.
Wow. No Delaware.
No Delaware.
Yeah, hang on. So the there first you go. State,
the first, I know, like, right?
The first state.
So it's been a cool run for you here in AEW. Now that you're here, it's been, I guess, 3 or 4 months now. And you're here, obviously, without your brother Jay. And I just want to know, like, before we kind of get into that, how has it been for you in AEW now that you're actually here every week?
I tell you, it's been a blast. You know, I'm seeing a lot of my old buddies that I didn't get to see regularly for a long time. Now getting to see them weekly again, which is real cool. What is different is the weekly TV thing is sometimes I come and I show up and I'm fired up, ready to have a match, ready to go out there and have a 20-minute, you know, 20-minute banger. And it's like, oh, yeah, you got a pre-tape. You got a promo tonight. And I'm like, oh, shit. But then it's like, oh, no, you're still on the show. Like, it's not the same as wrestling, you know, Weekend Warriors on the Independence, where it's all about who are you wrestling and how good is the match. This is about week to week to week, episodic. So that's new after 23 years of wrestling. That's something that's new, and it's something that I'm getting adjusted to. But I'm actually enjoying it because I'm not so sore all the time, because it's not like every single week you're having a 20-minute match. It's like some weeks you do, and then other weeks you get to chill, eat some catering, film some promo stuff, and talk some shit, and, you know, have a good time with your buddies.
It's like you said, kind of more about the storylines of what we're talking about rather than just the weekly matches themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is the first time you've experienced that.
Yeah. Yep. First time. I mean, me and Jay, it's funny. We were, you know, I used to think we were like the great poet 50 Cent. I'm the underground king and I ain't been crowned. I used to think, they're like, yeah, me and Jay, we're the underground kings. You know what I mean?
Right.
We've done everything but weekly mainstream. And now here we are. And I say we because he's, you know what I mean? He's riding with me. He's rolling with me. He's right here with me. You know what I mean? So now here we are, weekly episodic TV, and it's kind of a new thing. It's like, whoa, I thought, you know, thought I had done everything that there was to be done here, but this is completely new. And it's, no, it's great, man. Loving it here. Love it.
Well, and like you said, this is something that you're experiencing without your brother now that he's gone, but you have such great faith, and we'll get into that. You say he's still riding with you. Do you feel his presence? Do you?
I really, truly do. Yeah. I really, truly do. And it's like, more so than anywhere else is when the music hits and I'm walking through the ring. It's like, it really is. It's like it's just a strange feeling, because that was, you know, that was our thing. We were wrestling before, we were wrestling each other before, you know, we probably were even out of diapers and, you know, from the time we're kids. And it's funny because I got a 2 and a 3 year old now. I got 7 kids, but I got a 2 and a 3 year old son. And looking back, like they remind me so much of me and Jamin. And it's just like yeah, wrestling is what makes it, like I feel him more wrestling, even though everything reminds me of him. You know what I mean? I can't go anywhere or do anything without thinking of him. But when I really, really feel him, is when that music hits and it's time to go do what we do, you know.
I've had some close people pass away, and I've had dreams about them, and I feel like I had like their presence. Have you had anything like that?
I tell you, man, it's funny because my mom has had so many different signs and things like that, but I really haven't. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it one day, and I was like, you know what I think it is because me and Jay are so one in the same. It's like we're already one in the same. So it's like I don't need the affirmation. Mm. I don't need the confirmation that, hey, brother, I'm all right. I ain't doubted since from the when it happened. Is like at first, of course, a total like what the hell is going on. And but then it wasn't an hour, and I had made peace with the fact that he's fine, and I know that he's fine, and I can feel that he's fine, and that now we gotta carry on and do what we gotta do down here, especially for his kids and for, you know, his wife and my mom, you know, dad too. But I haven't had that many signs. It was funny, the one time, now that you mentioned it, I just did think about it. I was on my way home from Dollar General or something, and I was talking to my mom on the phone, and she was real. She was struggling, and her sign has always been bald eagles, right? If she sees a bald eagle, and where we live, I mean, it's not like you see bald eagles every day, but you'll see them every week. Mm-hmm. But it's the timing of when she sees the bald eagles that she really gets comfort, and like, oh, that's a sign from God, or oh, that's Jamin just showing me that he's still here, whatever. But yeah, now that I'm sitting here talking, it was twice. Once it was on her birthday. On her birthday, I was taking my kids to school, and there's a bald eagle, I mean, literally 10 yards off the side of the road, and it's eating something, you know, a dead deer, something, some kind of rodent, something. And most of the time, if you stop and try to get a picture, they're gone, you know. But this sucker stood right there. I stopped by the side of the road. I mean, I literally 10 yards, maybe 15 tops. And I zoomed in on him with my phone, and I was taking a video, and since Jamin had his first son, which was the first of the grandkids, we've always called my mom Granny. And so I zoom in on this eagle taking a video and say, happy birthday, Granny. And I sent it to her, and she called me, and she was crying, and she said that might as well have been Jamin telling me happy birthday, because she said, you have no idea how much I needed that. And then the other time was also, this time I was on the phone with my mom. This was the one when I was coming home from Dollar General, and there was two eagles in the field, right? Two eagles in the field. It was the field right before we get to my house. Two bald eagles. I'm on the phone with my mom, and she's, you know, she's struggling. She just wants to talk it out. She wants some comfort. And I said, Mom, there's a couple eagles in the field right now. I was like, they're beautiful. It's crazy. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's always been my sign. And one of the eagles flew away, and one of the eagles stayed right there. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's crazy. I was like, Mom, like, I think I had to call her back, because that didn't really click in my head until I was like, whoa, that's crazy how one of the Eagles, like it's her sons, one of the Eagles flew away. The other Eagle stayed there. But those are the two things that were.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, it's interesting because I went to Jamin's funeral, and it was one of you don't want to say favorite, but it was really uplifting funeral. It was a favorite funeral.
Top 10 funeral,
I think so. I think you were wearing the same, you know, camouflage hoodie that you're wearing right now. The whole place was packed in the high school gym. The whole town was there, and you and your mom and dad just told these great stories, and there was a real feeling of like, it's okay, guys. It's all good. Like, people were trying to cry.
Yeah.
But you were almost like, you know, you don't have to cry. It was just really, like, I guess, inspirational.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you. You know, my dad, I say my dad because my mom's faith, I feel like, is just as strong as my dad's faith, but he's the one who was more of...
The vocal?
Yes, more vocal, more of the household leader in that aspect when it comes to faith and God. And, you know, dad's just always been so strong and such an inspiration to me. And when we got there that night that it happened to the hospital, and I saw dad, and we both, you know, I could tell that, of course, we're devastated, but I could tell in his eyes the same thing I was feeling, like, Jamin's good. Jamin's good. And I told him, I looked at him and I said, Dad, I said, you know, I said, God is on the throne. He said, I know it. And, you know, and I know different people believe different things, and different people, you know, everybody's entitled to believe what they want to believe. But man, I don't think I'd be functioning at a very, very good level right now without faith, without, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, the belief and just knowing my brother's all right, you know.
When you got that deep faith, and it's kind of like the ultimate goal is to go home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So when he goes home, it's almost like, well, that's kind of what we're all going for anyways. Obviously, it's a little early, but when it's your time, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like he got there first, you know what I mean? he got there first. And it's funny because when, you know, we've been wrestling, when we started wrestling, I was 15 and he was 16.
Gosh.
And he's the older brother. Not that being 16, you're not really, you're still... You know what I mean? In the world of professional wrestling, you're 16, you're a baby.
That's right.
You know? But he's with his 15-year-old little brother, so he would always, you know, be like, go ahead, man, I'm right behind you. You know what I mean? I'm right behind you. You go in first, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, he got there first, man. He got there first. But I tell you, it was not even a couple of days afterwards. I tell you, it was pissing me off because a couple of news stations, and I know I shouldn't have taken it personal because they just want to get a story. But a couple of news stations would call, hey, you mind if we do an interview, come do a piece about your brother? We just want to pay his honor. I'm like, man,
yeah,
too soon.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, I'm not interested, not even a little bit. A little bit mad that you called me, you know what I mean? But whatever. And they did the same to my mom, and she said she felt the urge to, yes, I do want to, because that's just what she wanted to do, how she felt. And somebody came down from Philly. It might have been the next day after he passed or 2 days later. And I remember it blew my mind how, like, her faith in this instance, because the reporter was like, I guess it was, you know, she described how it happened and everything. And the reporter said to my mom, she said, I guess it was just wrong place, wrong time then, huh? And mom said that she didn't even think this. She didn't process this. But what she said, what she responded, the reporter said, I guess it was wrong place, wrong time. My mom said, no, it was right place, God's time. I was like, whoa. I was like, that's why I ain't want to do these interviews, because I want to say something cool like that. I'd have choked this woman and be like, God damn it, leave me alone.
You did tell a great story about the funeral, about the guy in the cemetery, though, which is hilarious.
Man,
yeah.
You know?
But let's talk about, you mentioned when you started at 50 and your brother's 16. Like, that's really young to start in wrestling. How were you guys able to do that? Get on matches and stuff being that young? Did you lie about your age?
We didn't lie about our ages yet. There was a lot of phone calls, and this was back when the 56K internet, the yep, but sending some of them old emails. Up and down the East Coast, we built a ring in our backyard. Dad helped us build a ring in the backyard over top of a trampoline frame. First, we wrestled on the trampoline, and then we went through about two or three different trampolines, and we built a big wood frame on the trampoline, on the metal trampoline frame, and put some posts in the corners and some garden hose and some cable for the ropes. And so we had a pretty decent ring in the backyard. And we got there and we'd wrestle and beat the crap out of each other and didn't know how to, properly tuck your head when you take a bump. So I swore, like, my mom was cooking. For some reason, she was on a cheesecake kick. She was making cheesecake at the time. And so I swore that cheesecake made headaches go away. we get done wrestling, I go and eat some cheesecake and I feel better. But we'd film ourselves wrestling and beating ourselves up in the backyard, and we'd send it to wherever from. I think we sent one to a league in as far south as South Carolina. Well, not a league, but a school. We would find wrestling schools. Mm. So from South Carolina on up to New Jersey, we sent tapes to a bunch of different wrestling schools. And a funny story there one time, because my dad, he would referee. Me and Jamin would wrestle, and we normally set the camera up, or my sister would film, and dad would be the referee. So we send our tape to a wrestling school in South Carolina. Hey, we're wondering if you would be willing to train us. You know, we're only 15 to 16 years old. However, you know, we really want to do this. Our heart's really set on it, blah, blah, blah. They came back, sorry, because of liability, we can't legally train you guys. You know, maybe give us a call in a couple of years. However, we're really interested in using that referee of yours. Yeah, so.
That's great.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But then Jim Kettner, he's CWA.
He was a Delaware guy, right? Yeah, Wilmington, right.
Yep, he's a guy who started the Super 8 tournament, which was real big. I think I'm pretty sure it's still going. I don't think Kettner still runs ECWA, but yeah, we went to the Super 8, where it was actually, who did we have? I know we had Scoot Andrews and maybe Chris Daniels in the finals. I think the following year was Lowkey and Brian Danielson, but it was I think Scoot Andrews versus Chris Daniels in the finals of the Super 8. And so we took up one of our home videos, and we had already contacted Jim that we wanted to bring a video along and have him have a look, and if he could train us, we'd be forever grateful. And so we gave him our tape, and he called later in the week and he said, hey, you know, I think you guys really got some potential, and I think we may have something here. You know, mom and dad are going to have to sign waivers and whatever, some legal forms, so I can't get in trouble, you know what I mean, even though you're 15 and 16. But yeah, then we started training in February and had our first match in May, and been rocking and rolling ever since.
Do you remember who the first match was against?
The Fabulous Mozart Fontaine and Mr. Ooh La La. It was supposed to be Mark Briscoe versus Jay Briscoe. Uh-huh. But we get down there and we're squared up and we're about to circle and lock up, and then the Mr. Ooh La La's music hits, and here they come, Mr. Ooh La La with his manager Barry Cassino and the Fabulous Mozart Fontaine, and they came down there and told us how we were just little punk pricks who didn't even belong in a wrestling ring, and that they were going to show us how it's done. And so it was the two of them versus the two of us. And and then after the match, after our very first match, Charlie Haas and his brother, Russ, God rest his soul, rest in peace, Russ, they attack us after the first match and start beating the crap out of us. It's these two, jacked, freaking in their prime, studs. Yep. And me and Jamin are 15 and 16 and probably a buck 50 soaking wet. But that was our first big program there, the Haas brothers.
So when you're doing that and you're still in high school, like, are you still attending classes during the day? And what did your friends think of you guys being wrestlers at night?
Yeah, well, So Tuesdays and Thursdays were training days, and we trained from 7 to 10, and that was up in Wilmington, Delaware, which is all the way up top. We're in Laurel, which is Sandy Forks right outside of Laurel, right. But we're in Laurel, Delaware, all the way down bottom. So about a two-hour ride every Tuesday and every Thursday. We would leave about 5, get there at 7, train till 10, come home, be home at midnight, get up and go to school the next day. And it was the only time that it ever conflicted with anything was during football season, because we both played football. My dad coached football. We had played other sports up until we started wrestling, and they were like, still love football, still going to stick with the football, but everything else kind of went to the back burner. But yeah, we'd have to leave football practice a little bit early to get up there. And I remember one of the local newspaper guys was talking shit on me one time because we made the our football team made the state tournament, and I missed one practice that week because that was when TNA was doing the weekly Wednesday night
pay-per-views. Yeah,
yep. And so we were in Nashville when this had to be 2002. Nashville on Wednesday night. And we had a state tournament football game on Friday night. Yeah, so one of the local newspaper guys was running me down a little bit. Like, oh, where's this loyalty at? You know, like,
but, like, for you guys being brothers, too, like, obviously, you imagine you used to beat the crap out of each other. Now you're actually as a team. And you pretty much were a team. Well, you were a team all the way up until Jay passed. Yes. I'm sure there was probably a lot of respect, but also probably a lot of fights, issues with your brother.
Oh yeah.
How was that teaming with your older brother?
Oh man, I mean it was, 90% great, amazing all the time until we clashed on something or didn't agree on something, and it seems like we almost always did. But then when we didn't, I feel like most of the time when he would, sometimes I don't even feel like he even really believed what he was saying. He was just trying to be an asshole. He was just trying to disagree with me for the sake of disagreeing with me. Like, man, no, damn it. You know damn well this spot's better than this spot. Like, no, man, that's corny, man. It's too much, man. You're always trying to do too much. But man, yeah, but you should be boring sometimes. You don't do enough sometimes. But no, we had so many, like I said, we agreed on pretty much everything, but then it was, I think for people that was in the vicinity, it was normally pretty comical when we didn't agree on something. I tell you, the first match we had with FTR, it was like before the show, and we're getting ready, getting this match together, and things weren't really going smooth. And I remember there was something that me and Jamin disagreed on, and we like get in a little 10-second back and forth, like, no, man, it's stupid, man. What do you mean? It was like one of those, and it popped Cash and Dax so hard that they like both, like, it was like that was the icebreaker, and after that everything was just so smooth sailing after that.
What's the most ridiculous fight you guys ever got into? Is the one that stands out, or something really dumb, or like a one that got pretty crazy?
Oh man, that's really tough. There's something will circle around, but it's always.
So you're mostly just at each other's. You're not actually throwing punches or anything.
There was a lot of physicality as well. I mean, especially it was. I slowed down drinking on the road not long after I got married. Mm-hmm. It was drinking on the road. You know, I still have a couple on the road, but it used to be, let's see how much we can drink,
right?
Until we pass out or guy get on an airplane. Whichever comes first. But back then, it was I would say it was almost weekly physicality. Because, we're always cool. And then he would, once we got to that point, late enough in the evening, and I know it wasn't bad nature, it was more just like, let me pick on my little brother real quick. And
yeah.
He'd say something ignorant. I'd be like, man, you always, like, why you always got to go there? Why you always got to start, man? And it's always... like now. But the one time in Cheeseburger actually is the one who egged Jay on, and I don't know if he recorded it or if it was Judge Jeff Jones that recorded it, but either way, they're in cahoots and they both got it coming. But we were in Tokyo Dome Hotel, and we're just in there shooting the shit, probably 10-12 guys in there in one hotel room shooting the shit, drinking, hanging out, just being the boys. And I, on the bed, I drifted off, and I'm comfortably resting and just resting my eyes. And yeah, Cheeseburger talks to Jay. He said, "Jay, give Mark an elbow drop." While I'm sitting there sleeping, and I'm defenseless, and so he gets on the bed. There's video of it. And he jumps and drops the stiffest elbow drop of all time, all 210, whatever, how much he weighed. I mean, while I'm defenseless, I swear, because I was, it's one of the things where you're maybe not quite asleep, but you're,
yeah, you're dozing off. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not aware of it. I had no record, nothing, no idea what was coming. I swear to you, the split second, I was like, holy shit, North Korea done dropped that nuke on Tokyo. We're done. We're toast. You know? But then I realized, I look up and there's this goofy bastard with a dumb looking grin on his face. And I immediately start swinging. And then that's when the video, you can't see much more on the video there. But I know, it was all the time. It was never nothing that lasted.
Sure.
Like I tell... I tell my wife, like, we fought all the time, but we were never fighting. Like, it was never, like, from one day to the next. Mm-hmm. We weren't talking or something like that. It was always like, "You dumbass, what the hell did you do this for?" "Yeah, well, kiss my ass, blah, blah, blah." And then we're, you know.
You're done. Yeah, you feel better. Done. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
How was it for you guys, obviously, being from, because you literally are chicken farmers. That's your family's background. That's not just a gimmick. That's real.
Yes, sir.
How was it for you guys to travel to Japan and travel around the world together? I'm assuming you probably never really left Delaware until you got into wrestling a lot.
Yeah, not, well, I tell you, we always helped Dad out on his farm. Now, last year, I bought my own farm, but me and Jay never actually, it was always Dad's farm, and we were always helping him out. And when we did have to travel, you would never even know, because he would pick up the slack and not even, because he was, you know, so proud of us
traveling,
doing our thing. And so it wasn't necessarily hard. Now, it might have been hard on Dad, but he never said anything. He didn't give a shit. He was happy to pick up the slack. But
how about you from a culture shock standpoint to go to Japan, for example?
Brother, Japan, the first time in Japan was like, I was like, holy crap, man. Like, this is crazy. Like, these people are so polite. Like, but it's really like being on like Mars, like, because we can't communicate, like. And then when you've been there a few times, then you kind of learn how to do the broken English, Japanese. You learn a little bit of Japanese, and you can communicate. But the first time there, you walk in the store, and I got toko zaimasu, or whatever. Like, whoa, what the heck? Like, what are you talking about, man? You know? No, but yeah, because I was, first time in Japan was when we were with CZW in the States, and so we went over for Big Japan. I was 17.
Wow.
First time in Japan, 17. I was at the time, well, from what I was told, I was the youngest American to wrestle in Japan until Colby Carino ended up being.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 17 and 18. We were.
My first tour there was 20. You guys got me beat by three years, man. 2 years, man.
Who was that for?
FMW. Yeah, just a kid though, right? You didn't even know. So you were able to go at 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Your parents said good luck to you. And
Yeah. And that was back before cell phones that really worked.
Think about that, right?
I know, man. And then even, so that was 2002? Yeah, it had to be 2002. But I think it was 2007. Cell phone technology had come a long way stateside, but when you're talking international,
that's
cell
right.
phone, yeah. So we were with Noah, we were over there with Noah, and we had Ricky Marvin and Kotaro Suzuki at Budokan, and it was the junior heavyweight tag title match. So they do the press conference thing the day before, and the night before the press conference, we go to Roppongi, hit Geronimo's shop bar, all the people down there. And so we get separated from each other and from the rest of who we were with. And I get back to the hotel somehow, some way. I have no idea how I got back. But I got back to the hotel at maybe 6 o'clock in the morning. And we had to meet them to go over for the press conference at like 9. So it was like 3 hours. I'm like, shoo, I made it back. Let me just go up to Jay's room, find him. We'll have a couple hours of sleep, and, you know, we'll go over to press conference. So I go up to Jay's room, this boy ain't made it back yet. And so I can't get a hold of him because we got these cell phones that's just for traveling.
Right.
Out. Yeah. And so I end up calling back to the States. I call my mom. I'm like, hey, mom, you talk to Jamin? She's like, no, what's going on? I was like, you ain't talked to Jamin? You don't know where he is or nothing? She was like, what do you mean? I'm here in Delaware. How am I supposed to know where he is? And I was like, well, we went out last night, and yeah, I just got back, you know, and he ain't back yet, and we got this press conference coming up, but he rolls in like 20 minutes before, because I'm down in the lobby, and I'm still in bad shape. I'm still blasted, not on very little sleep, and I'm like, man, I guess I'll go over here and just tell him I don't know. I'm not sure where Jay is. And he rolls in like the nick of time, like bringing Batman coming to save the day right. Last second, 20 minutes before the bus gets there. And he's even in worse shape than me. He comes in and we don't have time to whatever change or anything. So not that we were going to get real spiffy for the press conference anyway. But I just remember the picture in the magazine of the press conference itself is Ricky and Kataro over there. They're all dressed to the nines, looking all good. And it's me and Jay, and we're over there. We're over there, like, hanging on for dear life. I think Jay had on a shirt that said, life is full of choices with a bunch of different strains of marijuana on there. And it was, yeah, but, yeah, the match went good. Had a, you know.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, especially after Jamin passed away. We did a little bit of a tribute here and had all of your friends and guys you'd worked with and stuff, and just talked about how great of a tag team the Briscoes are, were one of the best ever. Every tag team, when you have a great, well-oiled machine, there's things that you do that Jay doesn't. There's things that Jay does that you don't. What was kind of the dynamic of your team?
In the early stages of the career of the Briscoe brothers, it was before we really learned the character aspect of the game, and it was more just work rate and how much can you do and how cool can it look. He was more of a power guy and I was more of a high flyer. You know, I used to be able to springboard and shoot star press and this, that, and the other. Now, all these years later, I might could do it one time if I tried real hard. But at first, that was the dynamic. He was more the pounder and I was more the flyer. But then when you get to the more... the beauty of pro wrestling with characters and stuff, he was like the cool one and I was the crazy one. I remember when we went down to for the WWE tryout down at FCW. That's what one of the trainers or coaches, whatever, I can't remember exactly who it was, but he said, this is, because they were doing 8x10 pictures, they said, all right, this is what I'm seeing here. It's like, you're like, just, you're talking about Jay, you're just like super, you're real cool. And then you're just like real crazy. And it's like, that's the dynamic that you got going here. And I was like, okay, yeah. And then it just kind of, like, we naturally, as we progressed and we could do, we were physically not who we were when we were 18, 19, 20, 21, you know, but in the mentally and in the mindset aspect of it, we were well advanced from who we used to be. Where I used to be so timid. You watch Hold Mark Briscoe, old Briscoe brothers. Man, I'm so timid and so afraid to cut loose.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's like right as soon as I figured that out, I was like, wow, this is way easier than I thought it was. It was like, man, you ain't got to do quadruple freaking springboard 450, you know, whatever it may be. Just go out there and make a little face, do a little bit of head wagging and make some sound effects.
Everybody learns that, though.
Yeah.
That's part of being, you know, getting the experience of being in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What happened with your trial with WWE? Why did they not want to bring you in?
Well, before we left, everybody was saying, man, everybody, they really like you, really, really think they're going to bring you guys on. And I guess it was a week or two after we had got home, we were just waiting to hear back. They said, that's what they said, you know, we'll give you a holler, we'll let you know. And John Laurinaitis called and he told me, yeah, we really liked your stuff, but I think we're gonna pass for right now. Now let us know if you guys want another try. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like, another try? Like, man, like, we're, come on, man. But then when, I guess when he talked to Jay, as he called Jay either right before he called me or called Jay right after he called me. But once we when we talked, he said, man, you know what he told me? He said that we're not cosmetically pleasing enough.
I was like, what?
I was like, for real? I was like, damn. That's cold, man.
you too ugly?
Y'all too ugly. It's like, dang, gone.
That's it's pro wrestling, yeah, man. Yeah. It's not a male model here.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, that's kind of the idea of the Briscoe Brothers, yeah, because you guys look so savage, and then get to, because I never got a chance to know you guys because I was always in WWE or working here. So finally we got to interact a bit, yeah, and on the cruise and stuff. And I was like, wow, these guys are really great, awesome, intelligent, fun. Yeah, but when you see these screaming, crazy pictures, the no teeth, yeah, you know, but that's wrestling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that was our conversation. Like, what the hell? If that's really how they feel, then we don't, that's not what we want to do anyway. If we're going to have to be all prim, pretty, and proper, and then maybe we get a job with WWE, that's not what we're looking for. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, there, let's keep on keeping on, you know?
A couple quick questions for you. First of all, how did you lose all your teeth, your front teeth?
Jay did that, and it was an accident. It was in a match in Philly. It was an independent promotion, but it was a no DQ, anything goes, whatever. Jay's going to hit the guy on the floor with a steel chair. Little does he know, I'm standing right behind him, and as he cocks back, it hits me.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, perfectly right there, right where the gap is, a chair,
the width
of the backrest of a chair, it fits perfectly in there. It broke two teeth right at the gum, and it pushed one into my nose, Mick Foley style.
Right.
It didn't break through, but it was a big old lump. Oh. I reached up with my finger, and I pushed the lump, and the tooth came back down.
Oh
dude, it was, woo.
And you just said, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I tell you, a little even more story there. I did finish the match, and it was a tournament, and then they wouldn't let me wrestle the following match.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. But the next couple days later, go to the dentist, and he pulls out the little nubs, which was the worst 20 minutes of my life. He just grabs them with a wrench. And he told me, he was like, let me know, because he numbed me up. He said, let me know if you start feeling any pain. He said, it should be some pressure, but not a whole lot of pain. And he grabs it with them dental pliers and starts yanking my head left, right, left, right. And after about 2 minutes of it, I feel like maybe the Novocaine is wearing off just a bit, and it starts really hurting. And I was like, hey, Doc, it's starting to hurt a little bit. I don't know if I need another shot at Novocaine. He's like, come on, what are you, some kind of big sissy? He's like, man, come on, man, you the one told me to let you know when it was hurting. Yeah, but then, yeah, so I ended up getting the partial, the flipper, and so I would only not have my teeth in when I wrestled, or if I went,
yeah,
you know, when I went to bed at night or whatever. But then when me and the wife got together, 2010, she actually thought that it was a kind of a cool look. The no teeth.
She thought it was sexy.
Yeah, kind of sexy. She says that. I think she just ain't want no other. She ain't want no other ladies thinking I was hot. She was like, let me tell him that he looks good with his big gap. Yeah. No, but and I still wore them. I still did wear them actually most of the time. But I was taking a nap in my recliner one day. Took my teeth out and put them on the armrest, and I swear to you, I wake up, and I look, and my teeth are gone, and then the damn pit bull is walking around the house with my teeth. And it ain't no big deal. I wash them off, but I get them from the dog, and she had bit them right in half. I'm like, dang, gone. And end up getting another flipper made, but I haven't hardly wore it since the pit bull incident.
Dude, you're a laugh, man. You're hilarious. And then the other question I was going to ask that I've always wanted to know is, how did you decide on the Briscoe Brothers? Because obviously there's a very famous Jack and Jerry Briscoe, and your guy's last name is Pugh. So how did you come up with Briscoes?
That was Jim Kettner. That was Jim Kettner. He said, you know, you guys, just your chemistry reminds me of Jack and Jerry Briscoe. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put an E on it. I'm going to call you the Briscoe Brothers 2000. Yeah, so the 2000 didn't last long. But
yeah.
No, that's
Did you ever hear from Jerry Briscoe at all?
When the first time I ever talked to Jerry, was when that time that we were in FCW for the WWE tryout. And he said, we immediately approached him and said, sir, we just want you to know, absolutely no disrespect, and we're sorry if it has come across as disrespectful, but you know, the guy who trained us, he wanted to give us the name Briscoe in honor of you and your brother, because he thought that we, whatever. And Jerry said he didn't mind at all. He would have appreciated if somebody would have asked.
Told him,
yeah, right? Told him or asked him. But and I've talked to him not a whole lot since, but talked to him a time or two since, and he's always been so nice.
Keeps the name alive, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Let's talk a little bit about your Ring of Honor, because you guys are obviously one of the cornerstones of Ring of Honor for pretty much from the start all the way through to, well, even now you're still there and still working there. What were some of the kind of the best matches that you had with some of the teams there?
Well, man, we got a lot of ground to cover.
Well, there is, and it's a pretty vague question. I know. I wish I could be a little bit more zoomed in. But when you think of Ring of Honor and the Briscoes, what pops to mind instantly?
I mean, we had so many different programs and so many different matches. I always loved when we would be working with a team and it would lead to whatever it may be, a ladder match or no DQ match. I mean, Kevin Steen and El Generico, which right. Kevin Owens and yep. Sami Zayn, we wrestled them for the better part of 2007. We had straight up tag match. We had 2 out of 3. We had a cage match. We had an anything goes match. We had singles matches. We had a Boston street fight. And then it all ended up with the first ladder war, the first ladder match in Ring of Honor, which that was definitely a pivotal.
Well, let's focus in on those guys, because I've worked with both of them very extensively. How did that, what was the chemistry there with the four of you?
Oh, my goodness. We were in, I mean, you got to figure this was 07, so we're all full of piss and vinegar, you know what I mean? And I don't think either one of us gave a shit one about nothing. It's just we would go out there and beat the absolute crap out of each other and just have a blast doing it, and then just be so excited to do it again as soon as possible. I mean, the first time that we wrestled was in Philly, and it was just kind of a no build to the match, just kind of thrown together. And I think that the match went so good that was when Gabe Sapolsky, who was booking at the time, I think that match went so good and the chemistry was so right there, he said, we can run this match all year long,
right?
You know, pretty much all year long. And so that's what we did. And it was, we always beat them. We beat them in every match besides for the Boston street fight, which they beat us there. And so that was how they got, okay, we just beat y'all 1, 2, 3. Now we want the title match, the ladder match. But yeah, that was definitely one of the defining series of matches, the defining feuds. And man, those guys, we just, from the first time the four of us got in the ring together, it was just like, it was so natural and just so, you know, the chemistry was just so right there.
Well, and those two guys are like brothers too. They end up just getting in fights with each other too.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Putting together matches, yeah.
It's hilarious. When they get going, oh my goodness, this is great.
Sammy putting together matches with him is always a pleasure too, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about this amazing series of matches that you had recently with FTR. Once Tony Khan bought, before we get into that, how was it for you guys when you found out that Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor? Because obviously we don't have to get into it. There was an issue that you couldn't go to AW, you couldn't go to WWE, which was pretty ridiculous. But anyways, Tony Khan, a big fan of yours, then buys Ring of Honor, and then suddenly you guys are now on national pay-per-view with that.
Yeah. It all started when Sinclair Broadcasting announced that Ring of Honor was, for all intents and purposes, shutting down. That was October. And so that was October before anything about Tony buying Ring of Honor. At first, it was just like, what in the...
That's your big job. That's your big gig.
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Like, what do we do now? At the time, I think I had 5 kids, and Jay's got 3 kids, and we're like, what? What just happened? And it was on a Zoom meeting. They tell us this, and my damn internet connection wasn't.
What's the noise? Beep beep beep.
I held it. Yeah, man, but yeah, on the Zoom meet, my Zoom cut out and it comes back on and everybody is like, it's like flabbergasted. I'm like, what happened? And I text somebody and they're like, I'll call you in a minute. And they're like, yeah, Joe just said we're done. Like Ring of Honor's basically shutting down shop. You know, we're gonna keep having shows until Final Battle, but then after that, you know, Ring of Honor's done. And so we were still getting paid until the end of our contract. So
Final Battle. So it was just out of COVID era. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Final Battle's in December. Well, we get this news that Ring of Honor's done in October, but we still have the show in December, which is Final Battle, and then there is no future for Ring of Honor. However, we're still getting paid until the end of our contracts, which go until April. All right, so that's at least, thank God, we got 4 months to figure it out, you know what I mean? I think it was March when Tony came out and made the, you know, I'm buying Ring of Honor. And I just remember like, holy shit, like no freaking way. And then as we get contacted and then like, yes, we, because at first it's like, okay, I hope that this isn't, we're not allowed to be in Ring of Honor anymore because we're not allowed to be in AEW because it could all be under the same umbrella. But no, Tony was like, no, I want to sign you guys to Ring of Honor contracts, and so there that solved the financial worries. So that was great. But then it was like, you know, what's he gonna do with us? And then when he announces the first match with FTR, which even before the match was announced, we were going back and forth on Twitter, them and us, and I mean, that was some of the funnest. That was some of the funnest stuff ever, going back and forth there, because everybody was like, "Whoa, no way this match is going to happen! No way this is
right."
Is ever, because I think it was the very first right when when the news was made public. Ring of Honor, all Ring of Honor guys are no longer exclusive to Ring of Honor because Ring of Honor is shutting down. Before Tony's buying it, before that news, I remember Dax Harwood. He tweeted and just said Briscoes, and it's like, oh shoot, and everybody's like, oh yeah, that match would be great. It's a shame it'll never happen. And then we cut a promo talking shit, just having fun with it, not knowing what the end result's going to be, hoping we're going to get this match eventually, but not knowing that we're going to, having any kind of confirmation or any kind of nothing at all that it might be a real possibility. And then they fire back at us and we fire back at them, and everybody's just eating it up and loving it. And then when Tony finally decides that, then he does book that first match and say, oh shit, here we go.
And you'd never worked with them before, obviously.
No.
So the chemistry was amazing right out of the gate with you guys.
Yeah, they're such a classic tag team. They're so fine-tuned, and I think it's something that me and Jay always had, was just the chemistry of two brothers who have been teaming for 20 plus years, but even before that we've been and then just with our natural chemistry, and then the well-oiled fine-tuned machine that they were, and the mindset that they have of classic tag team wrestling, as opposed to, you know, I mean, more spots. What's their old saying? All fists, no flips, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that just meshed perfectly with our style. Mm. And so yeah, we hit it all pretty good.
I mentioned we were never in the same company, but I was on one card with you guys, one show, where I had the unenviable position of following the Briscoes versus FDR dog collar match, which was me and Claudio for the world title at Final Battle, which we had a little bit of a story, and we had the world title, but I was like, how in the am I going to follow these guys? This is insane. That was definitely one of the most hard-hitting, intense matches I've ever seen. What are some of your memories about that? Because some of the bumps you guys took were crazy.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I tell you, between the three matches we had, the first match was just the straight-up singles. Second match was the 2 out of 3 falls. That dog collar match was just, I tell you, as physically taxing as it was, mentally, it was such a breeze,
because
we get there and we're like, all right, let's beat the absolute dog shit out of each other, you know? No need to complicate anything. let's just make this, make it look like a real damn fight, and we have accomplished what we have come to accomplish. And the more we try to complicate it or make anything intricate or make anything, okay, your timing, you must be here or your whatever, that's not going to do anything, but that's not going to be anything but a disservice to the match itself, because it needs to look like a war. Like, it was definitely not something where, all right, we'll do this spot, then we'll do this spot, then we'll go here, then we'll go over here, then we'll do this spot. It was like, all right, you two will beat the shit out of each other over here. Y'all beat the shit out of each other over there. Yeah. At some point, we'll both get back in the ring. We'll all four beat the shit out of each other. And then, I mean, that was a fun one, man. That was, and like I said, the first two were really stressful when it comes to, you know, creating the match. That third one, man, dude, that was like a dream. That was like the best night of work ever. Then the next day, next week, of course, it's like, oh my dear Lord, where's the damn Advils? Yeah, but that was a good one, man.
Last few things for you, man. We mentioned the cruise. There's a great match that you had, Mark versus Jay Briscoe, on the first Jericho Cruise, the Sea of Honor tournament. We actually had a little tribute for Jamin on this last cruise that we just did.
Man, I saw a video.
It was a classic. It was a great match. How was it when you guys worked against each other?
Oh my goodness, it was great. It was always great, and it was always fun. But I guess it had to be. I'm trying to think if there was one specific match, because it would always, one of us would get concussed every single match. Every single match, it would either be me or him. Or I don't think it was ever both, but it would always, by the end of the match or when we come to the back, I was like, damn, man, shit. You know, can't quite remember what just happened. It's like that fresh concussion syndrome where you're trying
to kind
of remember, but you don't.
Not quite, yeah.
Yep. But when we finally got to the point somewhere, I'd say it had to be somewhere around 2012 to 2015 or so, we told each other, all right, look, from now on, when we wrestle each other, just be very extra careful not to knock each other the hell out. Because it's getting old, man.
Yeah.
Every freaking time.
So what was it like for you when you come to AEW and finally you're on the show, and your very first match was against Jay Lethal, another very close friend of yours. You wrestled quite a bit. How was that night for you, first time on your own?
It was cool, man, but it was, I tell you, it was, because it was so soon after. Jay passed on January 17th. January 18th is my birthday.
Yeah, man.
And then 1 week later, January 25th, is Jay's birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
That was when I wrestled Jay Lethal. That was Jay's
birthday.
That
quick?
Dude, it was.
I didn't realize that.
To me, that's another one of the things, like, you know, like with Mom and the Bald Eagles and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, for, and Jay had such, whether it was, you know, warranted or whatever the word is I'm looking here for, he had such guilt that we never did make it to TV.
On a national
basis. He felt it was his fault. Mm. You know what I mean? He felt it was his fault. And it's so weird that, like, that first night being his birthday, it was almost like, wow, it's like this is his gift to me type thing. Like, his gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would, like, for one, I just know how strong he was in his faith and his perspective and his thought on, you know what I mean, God and eternity and stuff. So I know that he was not afraid to die. You know, he didn't want to leave any of us. He didn't, especially his kids, you know what I mean, his family. He, of course, he would never want to leave them without him. But I know that he did not fear death. He didn't fear death. And so I feel like I, even more so than, like I say, like my mom or a lot of other people that would have been so close to him, me and him spent more time riding the roads, you know, and just we had that connection where we had the same mindset, the same brain. And then it's like here we are on his birthday, a week after he passed, and he's like, there you go, chick. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, baby. Like, go ahead. Do what we do, you know what I mean? Do what we do, you know? Because I told everybody, I was like, how you blah, 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 how you do this? I'm like, if I went and balled up in a corner and cried and was sad and it just couldn't function, Jamin would, would do whatever he could do in his afterlife powers to haunt my ass into making me, what the hell are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's what he would be like. But then just to, for that to happen, and the timing that it happened, the timing of it, it's like, well, this is the next step. I'm carrying on, you know what I mean? I'm carrying on for me and him. And let's just roll with it, you know? And until there's an obvious sign or an obvious indication that this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, hey, let's keep on rocking and rolling, you know? So it was great, man. To be against Lethal, that was great, man.
I didn't realize it was on his birthday, too. Wow. But I was saying that, too. It's kind of like his last gift to you. And one of the small positives of his passing is that now you get to be on TV. It's almost like it does very much.
It's so bittersweet, right?
Bittersweet, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And he, he was so, when it came to wrestling, because that was his passion. You don't get me wrong, it's same here, my passion too, but my boy was next level. You know, he was next level with it. If we had a big match coming up, then he just wouldn't even be able to get right because he would be consumed with what was coming up. Okay, what promo do we need to do before this to build it just right? You know what I mean? Do I need to put a tweet out there or something? Or like just everything had in his mind had to be so absolutely perfect. And me, I was more like, hey, let's just go with the flow, go out there and just do what we do type thing. And just go out there and rock and roll like we always do. It's kind of like I didn't have to do all the thinking of the extra stuff because he would do all the thinking about all the extra stuff. And I just like now, I know that not only would he be, you know, if we were here on this stage as the Briscoe brothers, you know, I have no question in my mind, we'd blow the roof off. But man, I tell you, my boy, he would be, goodness, it would take a little bit of adjustment. Just like I was saying earlier, sometimes some weeks you come in, you're all hyped up, ready to wrestle, and it's like, all right, you gotta take some backstage pictures tonight, and we need pre-tape, you know what I mean? Hopefully you have a match next week. You're like, Jamie, baby, why come on me? Come, I don't know, man. Damn, Chick, why come there? Why ain't we wrestling, man? Come on, dog. What do you think, man? What you think going on, man? But he wanted everything to be 100 out of 100 exactly.
Right.
And if it was something that he didn't understand, then sometimes he would just rack his brain so crazy. But
Has everybody called you Chick?
Chicken.
Last question for you, man. What do you miss most about him?
About Jay?
About Jamin, yeah.
Man, you know, everything. Really. Yeah. You know, like, being, like, shoot, man. Like, I tell you what got me just last week after the show. We was, whatever, down at the bar, whatever, and there was however many of us. We was just shooting shit, talking and whatnot. And there was, you know, sometimes when you're in one of them circles and talking and whatnot, and everybody was asking me questions and it wasn't no problem because it was no questions that was anything out of the ordinary. And then somebody asked, what airport do I fly out of? And I was like, well, you know, sometimes because we always fly out of Baltimore, which is 2 hours from where we live, because Salisbury, Maryland, which is 10 minutes from where we live, there's not very many flights. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm explaining, well, I've been flying out of Salisbury a lot here lately, you know, we always used to fly out of Baltimore, you know, but now, you know, and like as I'm telling, I'm like, I can't even help it. I'm like breaking up. Like, yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, two hours over to Baltimore. And like, I'm like trying not to, I don't know. I got emotional talking about going to the airport, like riding to the airport. Like, as crazy as that sounds, that's one of the things, the ride to and back from Baltimore.
Because you guys would drive together.
Yeah. Yes. Gotcha. Always. Yep. We either I'd pick him up or he'd pick me up, and there we go. And we do same thing. We ride to the airport and then we wrestle and we come home and we ride on back. And it was, you know, pretty much every week for 20 years or whatever. And then we, you know, I mean, there was Jay had a landscaping business, Pew Lawn Care, and I probably helped him for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But after a while, I told him, man, my knees and my wrist—they can't keep doing this, man. I want to keep being a wrestler. I'm not. You know, I like landscaping, but that's not what I'm put here on this earth to do. I'm trying to wrestle and my damn knees and wrists are hurting. But, you know, when I'm home cutting grass, doing stuff around the yard, you know, that reminds me a lot of Jay. Like, I tell you, one of the things when me and the wife ain't seeing eye to eye, which happened in all marriages, mm-hmm. like, I never had anybody like Jay to talk to mm-hmm. because we're on the exact same wavelength as far as, man, damn, dog, I blah, 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 blah. You know, I fill in the blank. And be like, ah, oh, yeah, man, I know I did that, blah, blah, you know, but you good, dog, you good, you know, and like that, like just having him, having somebody who's on the exact same wavelength mm-hmm. as me and that speaks my language. Like people used to say, a lot of times we would talk and it'd be like, what the hell did y'all just say? Like, was that English? Yeah, man. So, I mean, you know, it's just pretty much everything about him.
Yeah.
I miss everything about him. But I'm also, you know, encouraged and I'm, you know, excited about carrying on for him, you know what I mean, until I get there with him, you know what I mean?
Well, man, like I said, the one small thing is it's been great to get to know you, and it's great to have you around, great to have you here, and like that night in Sacramento, we'll have shots for Jamin for as long as we're both here, man.
Damn right, man. Yeah, yes, dude. Sir.
It's great to have you here, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, brother.